Welcome to Outdoors with Dan Small and Judy Nugent, brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource, on the web at lake-link.com, and by Milford Hills Hunt Club, Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility, on the web at milfordhills.com. Well, Judy, word has it you've been exercising those steelhead.
Yes, I have. They need a little exercising after that long winter.
Sure they do. Yeah. So how you been doing?
Pretty good. I have had a lot of good luck. You got to watch the rivers. You've got to, you know, see if that there's too much rain or too much snow melt, you know, what the levels are. I happened to hit them right, and they were still a little muddy. I'd give it like a chocolate, milk chocolate kind of look to it, and it was a little bit high, but it wasn't flood stage where I was fishing. I was fishing Kenosha there. And in those conditions, I found that a very bright fly worked the best. And you had shown me one last year. It was kind of this chartreuse and hot pink combination scud.
Yeah.
And I was using something a little bit different. It was a straight hook. And it, those same color combinations, and then a flashaboo wings and a hot pink hackle. I actually found out it was called a caballero, which I didn't know, so it actually has a name. But that fly was working very well in those conditions. Now, as the water clears up, we're going to see them more, you know, where you're going to be using traditional egg patterns and the egg-sucking leech and stuff like that. But I got about 2 hours to fish. I caught four fish.
Ooh.
Three legal. One was, you know, wrapped up, snagged, and not snagged, but, you know, kind of wrapped up. And so I released all of them, but it was great. And I caught them all in about like an hour.
Wow.
The sun came up, you know, everything was great. I think they were just all active and excited. And then the sun went behind the clouds and the wind picked up and boom, it was just all over.
It's interesting how conditions change hour by hour on some of these rivers. And, you know, it's all water temperature related and water clarity related. As far as you being able to put a fly in front of the fish or spawn or a yarn fly, if that's what you're fishing, or even a spinner.
Right, right. So you got to pay attention to all the conditions and what's going on. The suckers are everywhere, so get ready to catch a couple of those, which can be fun. And I even saw a northern.
Really?
Yeah, it was kind of cool. He's kind of sliding up with all the rest of the fish.
Sure.
I guess just, you know, taking advantage of the abundance there.
Probably eating suckers.
Yeah, or whatever I can get. So that was really cool. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, you know, when I have fished with John Matinere on the Sheboygan River, he and I and sometimes my cousin Brad comes up from Illinois, and we almost always catch a northern.
Oh, really?
Along with the steelhead or the browns. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
On a fly, you know, on a streamer fly usually.
Sure. Well, I know the northern spawn in those cold waters, too, so maybe they're up there doing that,
They're probably doing that. I like to be able to see my boot about a foot deep. That's, for me, you know, it's kind of a unofficial, informal water clarity meter.
Measure.
Yeah, because then the fish can see your fly or your bait that far or more, and the water isn't so clear that you're spooking them every time you turn around or move.
Right, right. That sounds good.
You know, you throw your shadow on a spawning steelhead when the water's clear and forget it. They're gone.
That's right. So, hey, did you see that story in the Madison paper last weekend about the turkeys attacking the postal workers?
Yeah.
I just thought that was kind of funny with turkey season here.
Now, that wasn't an April Fool's thing.
No.
That was for real, huh?
Yeah, apparently there were five large males that were bullying the postal workers and pecking them and all this kind of stuff.
Turkeys go postal. All right. I like it.
So, but it's funny. They said, don't be too worried about it. This particular group of toms had a reputation. And so they've been chasing kids around a playground at school. And so the authorities have been alerted, but it's kind of funny.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, I see Eric Loebner was quoted in this, and he's a biologist over there. And he needs something to do. Eric, I hope you got your hands full with those tough toms.
Now,
you know,
I know Deadeye was hunting. Did she get attacked by a marauding band?
No, she didn't. She didn't even see a bird. You know, I was out of town on a family matter for part of the weekend, and so she only got out for part of Sunday. She was going to hunt with Ted Fisher, but it took him till Sunday afternoon to get his hunter a bird.
Okay.
And last I heard, Jesse Fisher's hunter hadn't gotten one yet. But our group, out of 34 hunters who spent both days of the weekend in the field, they got 21 birds. So
good.
That's pretty good, and it's 21 fewer birds for folks in Zone 25 and Zone 33, but there's a lot of them out there.
Yeah, that's all right. We need new hunters. We need the recruitment.
Absolutely.
And if they're not successful, who's going to want to go back? So I think that's great.
Yep, you're absolutely right. And speaking of turkeys and permits, you know, last week we talked with Matt Frank about that snafu with the turkey permits back in March. I think it was March 28th when they opened the sale of permits. And I talked with Laurel Steffes, who heads up the DNR's public information section, and she said that what happened was the system never crashed. It just got overloaded. And it's similar to when Oprah had her webcast bring down a website. Apparently everybody went to it just recently. And I don't know if you heard, but last weekend was it Bruce Springsteen tickets for the Harley event in Milwaukee closed down Ticketmaster. So I told Laurel, I said, well, you're in good company. But apparently the site just chugged along all day, and on that first day they sold 20,000 permits.
Okay.
But she and as Matt Frank said last week, she said, that is not acceptable. We are going to do something different next year. So I'm not sure what it'll be, but they have a committee that's looking at it, and you can count on not having that snafu next year.
They have to, because they know what's coming. I mean, Bruce Springsteen doesn't come every summer, you know, but we know we're going to have spring turkey. So maybe landowners go first, and then, you know, residents, and they got to stagger it or something.
Yep. They will make it better next year.
Okay.
So. And we have a winner this week. Yes. One of our Wausau listeners called in, and we picked his name out of those who called in. Nate Gruberg of Wausau is the winner of the Milford Sporting Clay's 5-stand certificate.
Okay, and what are we giving away this week?
This week we're going to give away a certificate for Milford Sporting Clay's, the course.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So, Nate, you got the 5-stand, and we'll get that out to you. And folks, to enter the drawing for this week's giveaway, you simply call 414-297-7554. You'll hear my voice say, I'm not here, leave a message, so leave your name and phone number, and we will pick a winner from all those who enter this week's drawing.
Very good. Who's on this week's show?
Well, in just a few minutes, we're going to talk with Carolyn Swartz of Ashland, the Angler's All Bait Shop up there, and get the latest on steelhead and smelt and whatever's left of ice up north.
Ice, don't say that word.
I'm sorry, but there is still some ice and snow in Wisconsin.
Well, only in drinks.
Speaking of ice, speaking of spring, we will talk to a retired professor, Kent Hall, from UW-Stevens Point, who is very active with the Bluebird Restoration Association of Wisconsin. And also spring means spring conservation congress hearings, and we'll talk with Kurt Thiede of the DNR. He's the liaison with the conservation congress, and he'll give us a lowdown on the hearings that are coming up Monday night. And Charlie Overton of Black Pot Demos will give us our first Camp Chef cooking corner of the season.
Oh, good.
All that and more right after this.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
Sportsman's Warehouse is America's premier outfitter. Your new Berlin Sportsman's Warehouse is a Wisconsin-owned company that features everyday low pricing with the most knowledgeable staff in the industry. On the rare occasion a local competitor has a lower price, your Sportsman's Warehouse store will do everything they can to meet or beat that price. You'll find the best prices on great brands like Danner, Benelli, Remington, PSE, Browning, St. Croix, Filson, Drake, and many more at Sportsman's Warehouse.
I spent a lot of time in the great outdoors, and I found that nothing cooks better or faster than a Camp Chef modular cooking system. It's great for cooking, grilling, frying, or even smoking. And these heavy-duty kitchens are built to go anywhere. Plus, if your power goes out, they're perfect as an emergency kitchen. Want to make a good thing that much better? Try customizing your Camp Chef kitchen with a complete line of accessories. So if you want high performance from a great portable kitchen, make Camp Chef your choice for great outdoor meals.
Camp Chef's lineup of outdoor cooking gear can help you prepare great meals outdoors anytime, anywhere. Slow smoke ribs in the smoke vault on a lazy afternoon. Get camp meals done fast and tasty with an Explorer stove. And be the envy of every other tailgater at the game using the big gas grill. Camp Chef, the way to cook outdoors. Now in your neck of the woods at Cabela's, Dick's, Gander Mountain, Lowe's, Mills Fleet Farm, Sportsman's Warehouse, and other fine outdoor retailers. LakeLink, the hottest website in the great outdoors, just keeps getting better and better.
Log on and get all the latest fishing reports posted by fishermen just like you. Check out LakeLink's hunting forums, great recipes, product reviews, moon charts, pros pointers, and weather center.
LakeLink has been providing up-to-the-minute hunting and fishing reports for over 10 years.
As a member of LakeLink, you'll have access to lake maps that you can customize. You can add rock bars, weed lines, and other structure not shown on printed maps. And LakeLink will put GPS coordinates on your map to mark your spots.
You can also sell your used fishing gear at the online trading post and have fishing reports sent directly to your computer.
The LakeLink Advantage program offers discounts to LakeLink members at outdoor establishments throughout Wisconsin and beyond.
You can also catch us, Dan and Judy, on the LakeLink radio page. That's lake-link.com, keyword radio. Listen to this week's show or catch any of our past shows and send us your ideas or enter our weekly drawings for great giveaways, all on lake-link.com, keyword radio. This next segment is brought to you by Mercury Marine, Mercury number one on the water, and by Crestliner Boats, available at Heckles Marina. And, of course, this is our Ashland Area Lake Superior Spring Fishing and Smelting Report, brought to you by the Ashland Area Chamber of Commerce on the web at visitashland.com. And to help us out with that report today, we've got Carolyn Swartz of Anglers All on the line.
All right, Carolyn, you heard. This is the spring report, so no four-letter words. No cold, no snow. What do you got for us?
We have some drear.
Well, that's a five-letter word at least.
We do not have cold or snow, but we do have drear right now.
Okay.
Right. The only four-letter word you can use is fish.
We have fish.
All right. So, do you have any ice fish left?
We do have some ice fishing left. The fishing on the ice is getting a little iffy at this point.
Uh-huh.
We kind of hate to encourage people to come from a long distance because you're down to hourly changes in the ice right
sure.
now. There are a few people still venturing out with ATVs, but if somebody is planning on coming, I would recommend that they either plan on walking or that they bring ice fishing gear as well as open water gear because you might have to fish the shoreline with open water.
Okay. How about inland lakes?
Inland lakes, I'm hearing good crappie reports on some of the lakes. Others are still a little iffy. There might be a little more ice than normal this time of year, so in some places the crappies haven't really turned on yet, like they do at that last ice point.
Now, you mentioned shoreline fishing. Where would you do that in the bay?
Well, anywhere there's open water. People do need to be aware. A lot of people come up here this time of year and they want to fish the hot pond, which is the warm water discharge from the power plant. That is all open water. They just need to remember that the area within 100 feet of the warm water discharge is a refuge area until the middle of May. They need to be fishing outside of that area.
Is that posted?
It's posted. I don't know how long it stays up.
Uh-huh.
It often gets ripped down.
Okay.
It's in your regulations
okay.
for Lake Superior. So.
Okay. Well, great. Well, what about steelhead? They must be in the streams by now, huh?
There are steelhead in the streams. The streams right at this point are high and dirty. If a fisherman knows where the holes are, they would still be fishable. For most people, it would be a little tough. Now, by the time this is aired, if we don't get a lot of rain or more moisture, the streams probably will come down and be very fishable. Most of the fishermen are going to fish with spawn or yarn this time of the year. You'll have great luck on nymphs, too. Especially stonefly nymphs work very well this time of year.
How about the smelt? Are they running yet?
You and everybody else wants to know that.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Contrary to popular belief, they do not run under the ice. No, we're still looking at smelting probably being either right on schedule, maybe a week late, because we're looking at ice out probably anywhere from 2 to 3 weeks. And normally, once the ice goes out, the water temperature needs to be approximately 40 to 41 degrees for the smelt to start moving into the shoreline. We supposedly have more water this year than last, so that should help everybody's smelting this year.
Well, that's good news because my net doesn't fit under the ice. It gets hung up on everything.
Stuff them in there.
Yeah.
Your drop nets.
Yeah, yeah. Now, listen, you did mention Dreer, but I happen to know that you and Roger just got back from Mexico. So give us a 30-second fishing report that'll make us real envious.
Fun in the sun, big bone fish. I had a 20-pound cuda, and I also caught two cobia. I hooked two cobia. I lost both of them. They were between probably 20 and 30 pounds, and that was pretty fun.
Hmm. Wow.
Yeah, I'm envious. I'm green.
Yeah. All right. Well.
Well, come along with us next year.
That would be nice.
I know.
Well, we record this, so.
It's a trip every year.
Yeah.
Dan's calling in from Mexico next year.
Yeah.
I can sense it.
That might work, I'll tell you. Well, listen, we've got to let you go. So we wish you the best as the ice leaves you and the spring comes on, and we'll be in touch again.
Terrific. Everybody come up and go smelting with us.
All right. Thanks a lot, Carolyn. That was Carolyn Swartz of Anglers All in Ashland. And to get the up-to-the-minute report on conditions and the progress of the smelt run and the steelhead run, you can call Anglers All at 715-682-5754. They have a website. It's anglersallwisconsin.com. And this segment was brought to you by the Ashland Area Chamber of Commerce on the web at visitashland.com. And this has also been brought to you by Mercury Marine, Mercury number one on the water, and by Crestliner Boats, available at Heckles Marina.
Well, Dan, what's on Outdoor Wisconsin next week?
Well, Judy, remember that kayak trip that you did with Jeff Gerhards of Marsh and Stream Kayak Adventures?
Oh, it was lovely. The weather was wonderful. The kayaks were so much fun. Yeah, I remember that.
That will be on, and our unseen camera crew will be puttering around.
That's Dan, by the way.
Motoring them in the hydrojet canoe that Brad Karstad supplied for us. And a free plug there, Brad. And Tom Neubauer will be fishing with Eric Steinhoffel. Eric buys this trip at the Channel 10 auction almost every year, and he's fishing with Jack's Charter Service. And I will only say this, that this is the fastest Lake Michigan action we have ever recorded, period.
Wow.
You can't miss this show.
Cool.
Yeah. And there's a lot of events coming up.
Yes, today from 11 to 2, wildlife artist and camp chef Tim Leonardelli will share some home-style recipes, so bring your appetite.
All right.
Also at the New Berlin Sportsman's Warehouse, Tuesday, April 15th at 6:30 p.m., Kevin Moore will give a seminar on early season muskie tactics. Can't wait for that.
Oh, yeah.
And then Saturday, April 19th at 1 p.m., Jim O'Brien of Dancing with Walleyes Guide Service will be giving a seminar on marine electronics and mapping.
Why do I always think we should have some music when you talk about Jim O'Brien and Dancing with Walleyes? I don't know.
Well, for upcoming events, call your New Berlin Sportsman's Warehouse at 262-641-2000 or visit them on the web at sportsmanswarehouse.com.
All right, and the Rough Grouse Society has a number of events in Wisconsin and neighboring states. Today, Saturday, April 12th, at Brown City in Imlay City, Michigan, the Farmland Pheasant Hunters inaugural Gun Dog Fun Trial is going on. And then Monday, the 17th of April, there's a banquet in Grand Rapids and a 10-gun raffle in Lansing, Michigan. That's Grand Rapids, Michigan. And Tuesday, the 18th of April, Lansing has their banquet. So I guess they do a raffle one day and the banquet the next day. And Wednesday, April 19th, the Lapeer State Game Area in Michigan will have its second annual cleanup day. That's a great idea. We should do that in this state.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. For details on these and other upcoming events, log on to ruffedgrousesociety.org.
And if you're looking for something to do today, there are free fishing clinics for kids 15 and under at 15 different parks and ponds in Milwaukee, Racine, Washington, and Waukesha counties. Members of local fishing clubs teach the clinics, which will begin on the hour from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Loaner tackle is available, but bring your own if you have it. For more information and a list of clinic locations, call 414-263-8494.
And if you're in the Sparta area this evening, You could attend the Gourmet Wild Game Feed at Jake's Northwoods on Highway 21 East in Sparta. Tickets are $30 a person, $50 a couple, and for tickets or information, stop at Jake's or call Jim Spaeth at 608-269-1140.
And mark your calendars. Monday, April 14th, the Spring Fish and Wildlife Rules Hearings and Conservation Congress County Meetings will be held in every county in the state beginning at 7 p.m., look for details online at dnr.wi.gov.
That's right. And Friday, April 25th, the Fox River Christian Church Sportsman's Ministry presents the first annual Sportsman's Banquet at the church on Lonsdale Road in Waukesha from 4 to 8:30 p.m. The event is free and open to all, and there will be raffles, door prizes, and some seminars. And the featured speaker is deer expert Charles Alzheimer. So for more information, you can log on to foxriverchristian.org or call Dave Bone at 262-970-9533. We'll be right back after this.
Take me out on the water, put a fishing rod in my. Take me out on the water, put a fishing rod in my hand.
This next segment is brought to you by the Ruffed Grouse Society, celebrating over 45 years of habitat improvement for ruffed grouse, woodcock, and other forest wildlife. On the web at ruffedgrousesociety.org. And Dan, you know spring is around the corner when you see a little blue bird flying through the brush. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Have you seen any bluebirds?
I have. And it seems like the males tend to come a couple weeks before the females. And so that really gets you excited because, you know, it's right around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to talk to a guest because I was kind of curious why that even happens. And so joining us on the line is Kent Hall. And Kent is a retired biologist from UW-Stevens Point. And he's also vice president and coordinator of data collection and analysis for the Bluebird Restoration Association of Wisconsin. There's a mouthful. Hey, Kent, I want to know, I understand you guys won an award. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, the Bluebird Restoration Association started in 86 when the population of bluebirds plunged. One of the groups I work with here in central Wisconsin is an affiliate of the Bluebird Restoration Association called the Aldo Leopold Audubon Society. And we just won the Outstanding Conservation Organization of the Year for bluebirds from the North American Bluebird Society. So we're very proud of that. And we started actually 6 years ago, so we're starting our seventh year. And this year we'll have 934 nest boxes in seven different counties, 46 different monitors. So we anticipate producing 5,000 bluebirds from our boxes this year.
Now, Kent, what did bluebirds use for nests historically before there were folks like you putting nest boxes around the landscape?
Woodpecker holes are the most obvious choice, but of course they're very limited for the kind of habitat that bluebirds need. They thrive in a short grass environment, and of course most woodpecker holes are deep in the woods and do not face such habitat. So actually the habitat available has been very limited until an artificial nest box program began.
Now, you mentioned all this data that you're collecting and all the boxes out there and all the young of the year. What are the research findings when it comes to bluebirds?
Well, we find that bluebirds require very specific things in their habitat. They require short grass. They're perch hunters. So you'll often see them on electrical wires. They'll go down, catch an insect, come back up, catch another insect, and then go feed the young. So golf courses, parks, business parks, cemeteries, memorial parks are really ideal places for them because the grass is kept cut short. They must be able to see the insects in between the grasses. Secondly, spacing is important. Bluebirds are territorial, so if people, even in suburban areas, want to have bluebirds in their yard, they should not have any more than one box or every 100 yards of space. So a typical city lot would hold a single box. Finally, you need a predator guard. Should not be put on wooden posts or trees. And another thing that we have found, been reported through Cornell University Laboratory of Ornithology, is that the boxes need to be faced to the northeast, east, or southeast. On our website, abra.org, you'll see the listeners will be able to see three styles of box we recommend. That ends up being critical. The NAB style, the K-box, and the Peterson box are the three that we recommend quite highly.
Why should a box face the east?
A very good question. We have not been as sensitive to that as we should have. But Cornell University found that starting about mid-Illinois, as you move further north, boxes that are faced in the three directions I mentioned are more productive. We now think we have the answer. A key limiting feature of the cycle of the bluebird is in April and May when the weather is cold. For example, Wisconsin experienced a severe snowstorm last April 11th. That halted and, in fact, reversed the nesting season for bluebirds
mm-hmm.
for about a week's time. Now, the year before, in 2006, May 11 and 12, there was a 48-hour event of cold rain and wind. And it just so happens those periods of time lead to a big loss of both eggs and chicks unless you have ventless boxes. So if you have vents, you can close them until June 1st. And if they are faced west, the temperature is about 3 degrees Fahrenheit colder than if faced the other direction. So what you have is a reduced wind chill if you face them in the northeast, east, or southeast direction, and you get the early morning sun. The more heat you get from the sun on the box, the less the female has to incubate the eggs. So just that little feature makes a world of difference.
Now, Kent, if I put up a box, can I just put it up and leave it?
Several myths out there. One of them is that you really don't have to worry about what happens in the box. All too often, house sparrows build in the boxes, and house sparrows kill songbirds. So if you're raising up house sparrows, you really don't want to do that. And to go along with that, people say, well, you know, if you open the box, that's going to automatically cause the hen to abandon it. That could not be further from the truth. We handle eggs. We handle chicks. Chicks are commonly banded, as they call it, a ring put around them to identify them for future reference. And the bird simply will not abandon them. This myth is very strong and comes from a feeling that foreign smells will cause the bird to abandon the box. That simply is not true. So that's one thing. Another is pairing boxes. People tend to pair boxes and assume that will create more bluebirds. And as it turns out, that's perfect for attracting tree swallows,
mm-hmm.
but not bluebirds.
You know, I was told years ago that you should put two boxes together because the tree swallows will take one and the bluebirds will take another, but the bluebirds won't take two boxes close together. But that's not the best way to do it, huh?
Well, that is not. It's very persuasive. It is a common myth throughout North America. Wisconsin is the only state I know of that has done research to check the data, and we have clearly found that putting boxes close together builds tree swallow populations and decreases bluebird population.
So you should instead police the boxes and make sure that you have, in fact, bluebirds in the boxes. Is that it?
Yes, that is very true, and in fact, if anyone would like to join our ranks and turn in their data to me at the end of the season, they can go to bra.org, our website, and there's a Form 22 that they can use for collection of data. I recommend looking at the boxes one time a week. And in fact, if they go to Starting the Trail on our website, there is a tab for Starting the Trail, and then they can go to Information Packet. And the information packet has all the answers to what they need to do when they monitor a box. At the end of the season, there's a Form 21 that they can send in to me. And as I say, we would love to have them join our ranks of monitoring bluebirds.
Well, Kent, I want to thank you so much for joining us today, and of course, congratulate you and your group there for Outstanding Bluebird Conservation Organization of the Year. That is really something, and I also understand Wisconsin's one of the best states in the nation for bluebirds, and I'm sure you played a huge part in that.
Well, thank you very much, Judy. The entire state last year produced over 28,000 bluebirds, which ended up being a new national record. So it's, to me, obvious that we're doing something right. And it's a labor of love, and we hope people will join our ranks.
Okay, and your website, again, is braw.org. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you so much. Good luck this bluebird season.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
That segment was brought to us by the Ruffed Grouse Society, celebrating over 45 years of habitat improvement for ruffed grouse, woodcock, and other forest wildlife. On the web at ruffedgrousesociety.org.
Want to be part of a fast-growing sport that's sweeping the nation? Try shooting sporting clays at Milford Hills Hunt Club, Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility. Conveniently located halfway between Milwaukee and Madison, just north of Johnson Creek, Milford Hills Summer Sporting Clays League for teams of 4 to 7 shooters starts Thursday, May 8th. The league is open to the public and anyone may shoot, so make up a team of friends, co-workers, or family members and come shoot with us. The Sporting Clays course winds through beautiful hill country and around a large pond. With 15 different stations, you'll shoot from duck blinds, john boats, and elevated platforms at targets ranging from rabbits that roll along the ground to high-flying tower birds that will challenge your shooting skills. Milford Hills Sporting Clays offers fun for all. Sign up online at milfordhills.com or call 920-699-2249. That's MilfordHills.com or 920-699-2249.
Sportsman's Warehouse is America's premier outfitter. Your new Berlin Sportsman's Warehouse is a Wisconsin-owned company that features everyday low pricing with the most knowledgeable staff in the industry. On the rare occasion a local competitor has a lower price, your Sportsman's Warehouse store will do everything they can to meet or beat that price. You'll find the best prices on great brands like Danner, Benelli, Remington, PSE, Browning, St. Croix, Filson, Drake, and many more at Sportsman's Warehouse.
Spring is here, and now's the time to get your boat and motor ready for another fishing season. Max Motors at 4224 South Kinnickinnick, just north of Layton in St. Francis, is a small shop that's been doing big things for nearly 50 years. Max is a family-run business that really cares about you, the customer, and your outboard motor. Jeff and his staff at Max work on nearly every type of outboard, and they specialize in older motors. Come to Max for tune-ups, winterizing, and major and minor repairs to outboards and most other small engines. They've got hundreds of replacement props in stock, and they repair lights and repack bearings on trailers, too. Max sells Wisconsin-made products like MiroCraft boats, Johnson outboards and props, Caravan boat trailers, Duraglass duck skiffs, and Cranberry Creek canoes, along with pre-owned boats, canoes, outboards, trailers, and other marine items. Get your outboard ready for spring fishing at Max Motors, 4224 South Kinnickinnick, just north of Layton in St. Francis. Log on to maxmotors.com or call 414-483-4628. That's 414-483-4628.
Glacier gloves keep my hands warm and dry no matter what the weather. 100% waterproof Glacier gloves are made of top quality fleece and neoprene for warmth, durability, and a secure watertight fit.
Glacier gloves are worn by outdoorsmen and women nationwide. Their increased comfort and dexterity give me a competitive advantage whenever I'm outdoors.
Yeah, and you need all the help you can get.
Hey, watch it, kid. Glacier Glove, America's favorite cold weather glove.
They keep you warm and they fit like a glove.
Glacier Glove, available at Sportsman's Warehouse or on the web at glacieroutdoor.com.
This next segment is brought to you by Glacier Glove, the original cold-weather glove, available at Sportsman's Warehouse or on the web at glacieroutdoor.com. And it's also brought to you by Milford Hills Hunt Club, Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility, on the web at milfordhills.com. And, Dan, the spring hearings are right around the corner.
That's right. Monday night in every county in the state. And folks who follow Wisconsin outdoor recreational activities know all about these. But to tell us more, we have Kurt Thiede on the line. And Kurt is the DNR's Conservation Congress liaison. Kurt, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Dan. Thanks.
That's good. And this is a busy time and a really busy event, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly is. It's unlike anything else in North America, really, Dan, as far as how much opportunity the public has to put input into natural resource policy.
Well, what are some of the major things that are going to be brought up this year?
This year, on Monday, folks are going to be able to comment on everything from wildlife issues to fisheries. And from the wildlife perspective, the wildlife questions will kick off this year's spring hearing. And there's a lot of trapping-related changes, a lot of specifics as it relates to the type of traps used and population goals. But probably on the wildlife end of things, the one that I've been receiving most phone calls about is actually question number 5, and it's something that came forward as a Conservation Congress advisory question last year and passed, and that's prohibiting paintball activity on department-managed lands.
Oh.
And that's because it's a nuisance or garbage or what?
Yeah, a lot of it as it relates to just leaving the casings behind,
okay.
Paint on department property, trees. And there's also a safety issue that arose that was highlighted in last year's question where there were some individuals playing paintball on one of the state properties and they confronted a warden. And it was kind of a tense situation, but the warden handled it very well. But it's the type of thing that it would be allowed with permit, but it's more or less just letting the staff know what's going on out there.
All right, what else?
Then I'm going to switch to the Natural Resources Board does have one advisory question this year, and that relates to the extension of the fall turkey season. And they're looking to find the public's opinion on whether or not they think extending the turkey season, this would be the fall turkey season, until December 31st, although there would be a break during the 9-day gun deer season.
And I imagine, would I have to wear orange also during the youth hunt and, what, the antlerless periods?
That's correct. Any
okay.
Any gun deer season, the blaze orange requirements would kick in for everybody but waterfowl hunters.
Would this be statewide, Kurt?
That's the proposal at this time. Actually, just below units, and if you're familiar with the new turkey zone map, and I know not everyone is yet, but zones 6 and 7 would be excluded from this. And 6 and 7 are the far northern reaches. Basically, that area above Highway 8 would be excluded from this.
Okay. So the southern two-thirds of the state, roughly.
Roughly, yep.
Okay.
Other than the board advisory question, then we start getting into the fisheries questions. And I would say as far as any of the DNR questions that are going to be up for a vote this year, the ones pertaining basically questions 12 through 16 as it relates to catch and release seasons are the ones that have gotten the most attention.
Okay, what's going on there?
Questions 12 and 13 relate to the catch and release season for muskies in waters north of Highway 10. And using barbless hooks during that season. Some of the listeners may be familiar with this. This was a regulation that was put in through this previous budget process in the legislature.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the DNR is required to follow up with administrative rules now.
Uh-huh. Sneaked in, a lot of people say.
And that's why it's gotten a lot of attention, I think, even more so than them. Obviously, the issue itself is of interest to folks, but there are people that are concerned on how the regulation got in place.
So it's not to discuss whether or not the regulation will happen. It will happen, and now it's just talking about how to accept it?
More or less. They're offering a couple options. You know, do you favor moving the day for the regular muskie season opener south of Highway 10 to the first, or excuse me, north of Highway 10 to the first Saturday in May? So basically you'd just be extending the muskie season would be one option. Or do you not favor creating catch-and-release season in waters north of Highway 10? Which is current, and there's some more specifics. As I'm not going to read the whole question, but it's basically it's in place in statute, but the rule is required in this case to follow it up. And that's unlike, and I'll just contrast that with the bass question, which is 14 through 16. That catch and release season's already in effect. This is basically talking about barbless hooks as it's required.
Now, are these things going to be in place by May 1st? Are these for the 08 fishing season?
Not the muskie question.
Okay.
Because that does need to be implemented through administrative rules still, that would not take place for 2008 season. The bass season, however, since it is something that already exists, that is going to be in favor for 2008.
So the barbless hook rule would be in effect during what is now the catch and release season up north. Is that it?
That's correct, Dan.
Okay.
Is this all going to be in the handbook? What if I already went and bought my fishing license, you know, in anticipation of, you know, spring trout or whatever? How am I going to get notified of these rule changes?
Most of the fisheries rules changes do go into effect in 2009. That's how it's set
okay.
up. However, it's just as it relates to the barbless hook requirement. I am not sure if that made it in time with the budget to get it in the fisheries pamphlet.
Okay. And then there are some advisory questions of the Conservation Congress, right?
Yeah, that's correct. And other than the fisheries question, I would say these have probably drummed up the most interest. And one of them, which I'll touch on, and there are 29 altogether, but one of them is the issue that seems to come back every year, and that's the statewide deer feeding and baiting prohibition.
Mm-hmm. So how is that phrased?
The way it's phrased is last year there were two separate questions. One is would you support a prohibition on deer baiting, and a separate question that said would you support a prohibition on deer feeding. And the way this one is worded this year is, do you favor action by the state legislature to ban deer feeding and baiting statewide? The idea here when it was brought up in the Big Game Committee was to spur some action on behalf of the legislature on this issue.
And how much would you need to see either for or against to make something like this pass?
It's always been a really close issue, and I'm not really sure. This is going to require legislation, so really that's kind of an answer that the legislature would have to take into consideration. If they decide to put any sort of bill forward, what type of reaction they would need to see to put a bill forward.
Okay. Well, Kurt, how can people find out where the meeting is in their county?
The easiest way to get there, Dan, would be to go to the DNR website, which is dnr.wi.gov. And when they get there, they can look under the seasonal category, and there's a link that you can click on that says Conservation Congress Spring Hearings. That'll take you to a page where you can take a look at the questions. You can find out where the hearing is in your county. Basically, if you wanted to introduce a resolution, I'll tell you how to do that, too.
Okay. Well, Kurt, thanks a lot, and we hope a lot of listeners get out to these county hearings, because this is your chance to have your voice heard on natural resources and conservation issues for the next year, really.
That's right. Thanks, Dan. Thanks, Judy.
Thank you.
That segment was brought to you by Glacier Glove, the original cold weather glove, available at Sportsman's Warehouse or on the web at glacieroutdoor.com. And by Milford Hills, the Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility, on the web at milfordhills.com.
The lowest prices, the best selection, with three great locations at Heckles Marina. The deals are better than ever. From bass boats powered by Yamaha to pontoons and ski boats, all new non-current year models are priced to move. Heckles will not be undersold. We are ready to get you the deal you want. Your marina of choice and five-star Yamaha dealer is Heckles Marina, Eagle River, Stevens Point, Wausau, and newest Sun Prairie, Madison location.
We make deals you won't believe. Satisfaction guaranteed.
Spring is here, and now's the time to get your boat and motor ready for another fishing season. Max Motors at 4224 South Kinnickinnick, just north of Layton in St. Francis, is a small shop that's been doing big things for nearly 50 years. Max is a family-run business that really cares about you, the customer, and your outboard motor. Jeff and his staff at Max work on nearly every type of outboard, and they specialize in older motors. Come to Max for tune-ups, winterizing, and major and minor repairs to outboards and most other small engines. They've got hundreds of replacement props in stock, and they repair lights and repack bearings on trailers, too. Max sells Wisconsin-made products like MiroCraft boats, Johnson outboards and props, Caravan boat trailers, Duraglass duck skiffs, and Cranberry Creek canoes, along with pre-owned boats, canoes, outboards, trailers, and other marine items. Get your outboard ready for spring fishing at Max Motors, 4224 South Kinnickinnick, just north of Layton in St. Francis. Log on to maxmotors.com or call 414-483-4628. That's 414-483-4628.
I spent a lot of time in the great outdoors, and I found that nothing cooks better or faster than a Camp Chef modular cooking system. It's great for cooking, grilling, frying, or even smoking. And these heavy-duty kitchens are built to go anywhere. Plus, if your power goes out, they're perfect as an emergency kitchen. Want to make a good thing that much better? Try customizing your Camp Chef kitchen with a complete line of accessories. So if you want high performance from a great portable kitchen, make Camp Chef your choice for great outdoor meals.
Camp Chef's lineup of outdoor cooking gear can help you prepare great meals outdoors anytime, anywhere. Slow smoke ribs in the smoke vault on a lazy afternoon. Get camp meals done fast and tasty with an Explorer stove. And be the envy of every other tailgater at the game using the big gas grill. Camp Chef, the way to cook outdoors. Now in your neck of the woods at Cabela's, Dick's, Gander Mountain, Lowe's, Mills Fleet Farm, Sportsman's Warehouse, and other fine outdoor retailers.
Glacier gloves keep my hands warm and dry no matter what the weather. 100% waterproof Glacier gloves are made of top quality fleece and neoprene for warmth, durability, and a secure watertight fit.
Glacier gloves are worn by outdoorsmen and women nationwide. Their increased comfort and dexterity give me a competitive advantage whenever I'm outdoors.
Yeah, and you need all the help you can get.
Hey, watch it, kid. Glacier Glove, America's favorite cold weather glove.
They keep you warm and they fit like a glove.
Glacier Glove, available at Sportsman's Warehouse or on the web at glacieroutdoor.com.
This next segment is brought to you by Camp Chef, the way to cook outdoors, on the web at campchef.com. And we have Wisconsin's Mr. Camp Chef and Mr. Black Pot Demos on the line, and that's Charlie Overton. Charlie, how are you?
Just fine, Dan. How about yourself?
We're doing okay. Now, I understand you're filling in for Cindy Overton today, and you give her our regards. I understand she's getting over a bug.
Yes, she is. So we'll do the best we can for you.
All right.
I understand Camp Chef's got a new stove out.
Oh, we got a dandy little toy here. It looks like a baby range for in your house.
Really?
It's a two-burner stove and an oven, and it's a very compact little unit. It'll fit right on top of a picnic table, or like I've been telling guys lately, we get this early walleye season going. We can set this baby right in the boat. We want to get an early start fishing. We can fry our bacon and eggs and have our coffee and fresh biscuits right out in our boat.
Now, wait a minute. Right in the boat.
You betcha. It's only 10 inches wide, 16 inches high, and 10 inches deep. Weighs about 35 pounds, works on the one-pound propane cylinders.
Wow.
Well, that's good. It's got me thinking spring. I like that.
Oh, you betcha. Well, the walleye boats are out in force up here in the Oshkosh area on the Fox and Wolf Rivers.
So. Okay. Well, that's good. I imagine they're getting that early spawning run right now.
That's what they're after. Hopefully they're starting to come in.
Now, I suppose during the white bass run, you could actually fillet and cook your bass right there on the boat.
Well, the walleyes, too. You betcha.
Uh-huh.
The only thing is you have to remember to count those fish in your limit.
Well, that's, yeah, exactly. that's why I mentioned white bass, because there is no limit on the white bass.
Right. Well, it's as many as you feel like filleting.
Well, that's, yeah, self-imposed limit.
Yeah, so this is a dandy little unit.
What's it called?
Well, we call this the new camp oven from Camp Chef.
Okay.
Now, I understand you've got an event coming up.
Yes. In April, we are going to be out at the Prairie Chicken Festival at the Buena Vista Wildlife Area.
Are you going to be cooking up prairie chickens?
Well, no. We're doing the breakfast, though, for the people when they come out of the blinds after watching the prairie chickens.
Okay. No, I'm just kidding.
They won't let us cook prairie chickens. I tried that already.
Yeah. Well, they're kind of heavily protected here in Wisconsin. We all know that.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
But for those fortunate souls that are going to be out in the blinds early in the morning, getting cold and nasty and hungry, we're going to be cooking up a nice hot breakfast for them, coffee and everything, to warm them up when they get back out.
Excellent.
That's cool.
What's the date on that?
April 18th through the 20th.
Great. That's next weekend. Perfect. And to find out more about where you're at, you've got a website, right?
That is right, blackpotdemos.com.
Well, good, Charlie. Thanks a lot. I'm looking forward to spring and getting out there cooking and camping. It's going to be a fun summer.
Oh, we're looking forward to it ourselves. We're going to be busy and happy.
All right. Thanks a lot, Charlie. We'll talk to Cindy in a couple weeks, and we'll catch up with you later this year.
That'll be great. Thank you very much.
You betcha. That was Charlie Overton of Black Pot Demos, and this is the Camp Chef Cooking Corner, brought to you by Camp Chef, the way to cook outdoors, on the web at campchef.com. And don't forget, to win this week's Milford Hills Sporting Clays certificate, you need to call 414-297-7554 and leave your name and phone number, and we'll pick a winner among those who enter this week's drawing.
Well, we're running out of time, but you've been listening to Outdoors with Dan Small and Judy Nugent, brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource, on the web at lake-link.com, and by Milford Hills Hunt Club.
Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility, on the web at MilfordHills.com.
Join us again next week.
I'll be trolling home to you when my wrist gets a little chilly.